Sunday entitled How to Keep Your Home Together. And I believe that the answers are found right here in Colossians chapter 3. The first two points that I covered last week, in verses 1 through 4, I believe that if you're going to have a home that glorifies and honors God, and you're going to keep it together, Jesus Christ must have the preeminence. Your affections must be upon Him. Your obedience must, you must be committed to walking in the ways of Christ, to walk even as He walked, to prove your love for Him by being obedient. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You and I have got to understand that if our homes are going to work like they ought to under the dominion of Jesus Christ, under His reign, under His rule, then He has to come first. His will is more important than my will. He knows more than I do. He gives me direction, instruction, right here in His Word. And I know that I must follow it and lead my family in the things of God. Secondly, you not only have to have Christ as the preeminent one in your home, everything you do should be aimed at glorifying Jesus Christ, because He gave everything for you. He gave His life. He shed His blood. He's interceding for you. Jesus Christ has done so much for you. He bought you with a price. And you're to glorify God in your body on account of that. The second thing is, protect your home from the lust of the flesh. And He gives us instruction in verse 5 through 9 about mortifying your members which are upon the earth. And he's saying, you got to put to death, crucify, mortify fleshly lust that war against the soul. Because they can ruin a home. If you allow these kind of attitudes and thoughts, blasphemy, filthy communication, sexual immorality, all of those things serve to defile you as an individual, and it'll defile your home. And so He's saying, put away these things. Now today, we're going to cover two more points and conclude. But the third point I want to make, if you want to keep your home together, love must permeate that home. And look what He says, and this is true also in our church body. These truths are all interconnected. But notice what He says in verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Don't ever forget that you've been chosen by God. That you are eternally loved by Him. Notice the terms of endearment that He gives to us. The elect of God, holy, consecrated, and beloved. Wow, what a term of endearment. He says, you're my beloved. He says, put on vows of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Now, the interpretation of this specific passage is dealing with individuals and their relationship within the church body. But certainly, the application can be made to your home. Of all the virtues listed in these verses, he is saying that charity, this highest degree of agape love, must reign supreme. Love is not merely an emotion. It's not merely a phrase that you say to someone. Love is an act of giving. Love is often marked by sacrifice to others. Husbands, I find it interesting that when the Lord tells us how we're to love our wives, in Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. What a high standard for husbands. You're to love your wife like Jesus Christ loved the church that he started and promised perpetuity to. Something so dear to him that he gave himself. Body, soul, and spirit. He shed his life's blood. And he says, you are to love your wife as Christ loved the church. That's a sacrificial love. You can't be selfish and be sacrificial. You got to be willing to give. To give of your time, your support, your protection. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Your love ought to be manifested by sacrifice. Willing to help, encourage, empower, and provide for your wife and your children. This is the kind of love that we're to have. You have in your home, men, you have a solemn responsibility. Jesus Christ gave himself. He provides for his church. You've been given that responsibility. You are to be the giver. You are to be the provider, the encourager in the lives of your wife and your children. We must continually give of ourselves to one another, always looking out for the welfare of others. True love is not marked by always pleasing yourself, but seeking to be a blessing to others, to look outside of your own personal wants. Jesus, the Bible says about the Lord in Romans 15:3, for even Christ pleased not himself, but rather he gave his life for others. This is the mark of love. To be giving. To be willing. And it's pretty difficult to do, isn't it? It goes against the natural way that we're built. By nature, we're selfish. We want our way. We want what we want. But when you come into the relationship, a covenant relationship between a man and a wife, and God blesses you with children, it's not about you. It's about pleasing God through obedience and love for your family. We're living in a day and age, and it's inexcusable in my mind, where a lot of men and a lot of parents, both man and woman, have completely checked out. They're only devoted to their own interests. They don't care about one another. They don't care about their children. They only want what they want. And the world tells them, you deserve it. You do you. You be you. Whatever you want, whatever makes you feel good, whatever lifts your self-esteem, none of that is biblical. Love, when you love somebody, you're committed to them. You have a desire to be a blessing to them and a help and an encouragement. And you're willing to give of yourself. And it's a lesson that all of us need to not only learn but improve on. Because by nature, we're selfish. But love is not selfish. You read 1 Corinthians 13 where he gives all the characteristics of what real love is about, and it is in no way selfish. And certainly, if we're going to, husbands, if we're going to model the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, how many times does it say that he gave himself? He consecrated himself for others. This is what we need in homes today. Men that are devoted to God and devoted to their family. It's what's missing in American society. Now, love has to be the number one priority in the home. It has to permeate. And what goes along with love? Kindness, humility, meekness. They're all flowers that grow in love's garden. Don't treat each other spitefully and harshly. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. I told you what Tammy said to me today. When I went, she said, now when you go, you got to speak more softly and more comforting to your family, to your parent, to your dad especially. Boy, she's so right. She said, you're always matter of fact. And I am. That's my personality. I see a thing and I want to just state it. You know what? When she was saying that to me, I thought to myself, why does she have to always be right about stuff like that? But she knows me. And I hope and pray that I listen and live up to her counsel so that I can be a comfort to my dad and to my aunt. So that I can pray with my mom and do it with grace and kindness and compassion. I need it. Pray that God will give me grace. And I believe He will. I believe God equips you for every single event of your life. That God gives you grace that very moment that you need it. He prepares you for seasons of life. But all of us certainly could use a greater measure of kindness, of humility, of meekness. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, He gives us really good counsel there. And verse 7, 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrawise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them to do evil. You know, your marriage will not work if you're always holding grudges and you have no forgiveness. And you're always, whenever something comes up, pal, you did that, you did this. That's not the way that we're to live together. We're to forgive. We are to not render railing for railing, but rather seek to be a blessing in the way we talk, the way we act. And you know what will follow? Patience, forgiveness, kindness. That's what will permeate a home. And the result will be the peace of God that passes all understanding. The peace of God will naturally flow from a home where husbands and wives who love each other and where children are loved and cared for, there will be harmony. Not harshness, there'll be compassion. Not cursing and bitterness. Now, I'm not I don't want you to think that our home is just all flowery and that we kid around a lot. Our family, Josh is probably the worst at it. You're just kind of cynical and sarcastic. But we love each other. We are there for each other. It's been this way. And I'm gonna tell you, when troubles come in a home where there's love, where there's patience, where there's forgiveness, where there's commitment, when troubles come and things that you think there's no way we're going to get through this, you'll see how God brings you right through it. How He gives you the grace that you need that day, that week, that month, that year. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I've lived it. But it all goes back to being committed to the Lord and to one another. That's the only way it's going to work. Commitment, love, sacrifice, kindness. And then lastly, I don't have a long sermon today. Well, that brought a smile to Ashley Bill's face. God bless her. There have to be proper relationships. There has to be an order. And he tells us the order in verse 17. This has to be the controlling influence in every home. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So everything must fall under the headship of Jesus Christ and what pleases Him in word or in deed. And then he goes on to say, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And it's interesting how if you're teaching your kids anything and doing memory work or reading the Bible to them, for some reason though that verse sticks with them. That one in Ephesians 6. You know, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then Gavin will say, yeah, but it also says, fathers, let me see what it says here, Dad. Provoke not your children to anger. They remember that. And I've heard Gavin quote that to his dad several times through the years. It's funny because old Gavin, he likes to quote Scripture to you. If you're doing something wrong, he'll say, hey, you know what? That ain't right. Here's what the Bible says about that. It tickled me one time that we were at Disney World. We're in a bus, and Gavin's sitting next to some kid that was just mouthing off to his mother. It was a girl or a boy. And Gavin looked at them and said, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You need to obey your mom. And the mom went, yeah. And Gavin said, I'm telling you, you'll be a lot happier if you just obey. Katie was there too. She said, oh, he just preached a little sermon to him. You know, the point being is these things register. Most homes are completely out of order. In fact, most homes don't have any order. It's disorder. But God gives us the recipe. Now, society says that it's weakness for a woman to be submissive to her husband. Yet the Bible says that that's great strength in reality when you're able to obey the Scripture. Just husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church, and wives, be subject unto your own husbands. This is the order. And I believe with all my heart that the word to wives is that of quiet submission, not slavery, but to willingly put yourself under the authority, the care of your husband, who is to be the leader in the home. This submission should be cheerfully and should be done cheerfully and respectfully. Because, ladies, if you're not submissive unto your husband, your children will see that. And you're going to find that when you don't have a spirit of submission, they're not going to either. If you don't follow the biblical order, it's going to be very hard to teach them to follow this order. Somebody says, well, yeah, but you're just like, you're one of those male chauvinist pigs. No, I really am not. I'm just telling you, this is God's way. And it's worked in society for so many years. Listen, people are... Do you realize the confusion that happens when you don't follow the Word of God? You can see it in our society. There's no understanding among people what their roles are. How thankful I am for godly women that love the Lord, that love the truth, that love their husband, that love their children, and seek to influence them. But this truth is all through the Scripture. Ephesians 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Peter chapter 3. There's a lot of instruction in the Word of God. I don't think the way of true liberation is to defy God's Word. I think real liberation is when you do what the Lord says. That's when you're truly free. So, wives, devote yourself to your family. Be a blessing to your husband, to your children. It takes a lot of sacrifice, doesn't it? It takes a lot of patience to serve and to always be looking out to be a blessing to those in your home. And I believe you're going to be rewarded for it. But this is God's way. Not one of rebellion and strife, but one of submission. The Bible says this in Proverbs 14:1, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Proverbs 21:9 says, it is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. The husband must rule the home by love, not harshness or bitterness. I do think that many women rebel simply because the husband's not doing what he ought to be doing. This love must be characterized by giving, sacrifice, consistency, and faithfulness. And I've already dealt with that. I haven't said anything about children yet. But the Bible has commands for them too. It says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. From the earliest of ages, we need to train our children in the way they should go. Teach them to be obedient. Teach them to listen, to obey, and to do it the right way. Part of that comes, they see our example. How do we obey? How do we live? How do we respond to God's Word? May God give us grace to instill within them by giving them these values, by giving them the right kind of example. Solomon says, son, give me thine heart. Observe my ways. And children are to be obedient. And they have to be corrected when they're rebellious. And if you don't do it, if you don't correct them, even at the early age, when they get older, if they have no respect for your authority, they're not going to have respect for anybody's authority. And I believe that's what you're seeing. We are reaping what people have sowed for two or three generations, where children are not disciplined, they're not governed, they're not taught what's right and what's wrong, and they just want to do what they want to do. And it's caused quite a mess. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. He that spareth his son, spareth his rod, hateth his son. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Gavin, Adeline, you got to be obedient. Hannah, Haley, got to be obedient. Joshua, I love my son. And he's turned out to be a pretty good son. And I'm thankful for that. But we got to keep teaching these things. And pray that they're perpetuated. That they're passed from one generation to the other. So that when me and Tammy die, Gavin, Adeline, Ella, Emma, Ezra, Asher, all those are being taught and trained, so that the next generation, they'll be able to keep their home together in a way that pleases God. In my mind, this is the only hope for this old world, our families that love Jesus Christ and are committed to pleasing Him. May God help us. Let's all stand.
Page number 31.